My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He has joined us many times to discuss issues of religious freedom, the fight of the definition of marriage, the right to life, and so forth. It is, of course, affiliated with Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. One of the things Liberty Council is looking at right now is the case of a Macy's department store worker who lost her job because she refused to allow someone who she clearly identified as a male from using the female dressing and changing rooms at the Macy's store where she worked at. It was in violation of the organization's policy on LGBT issues. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Go ahead and tell our listeners the story here.
Well, this is a situation involving Natalie Johnson, and she worked at a Macy's in San Antonio, Texas, and she noticed a young man come out of the women's fitting room, and when he tried to go back in with four other people, he was told by her that this is the women's room, and it's only for women. He and the five people got upset. They began to shout explicitives. They said that Macy's is an LGBT-friendly store, and they demanded to see the manager. So they complained to the manager, and this was clearly a man who was dressing as a woman or wanted to identify himself, he said, as a woman. They complained to the management, and to Natalie's surprise, the management took this individual's side and said that, in fact, if you're transgender, in their words, then you can use any restroom or any fitting room that you desire, and that she just needs to get over it, and if she can't, then they will fire her. And so they terminated her without even accommodating her, without even attempting to have any other accommodation by placing her someplace else in the store. This policy makes no sense. Now, the consultant, apparently, that ultimately created this policy was born female and then later in life went through plastic surgery and hormone treatment to identify as a male. So this is where the policy originates. And it's just unbelievable that Macy's would have such a ridiculous policy that literally puts their customers at risk. No woman wants to go to the women's fitting room when there's a man who wants to use that room to change and unchange. Now, even if you have someone who is a man who does not want to be and is not a cross-dresser, is not a transvestite or anything of that nature, but simply wants to go in there to commit voyeuristic acts, sexual harassment, or even worse, rape, they would be allowed to go in there. This just makes no sense whatsoever.
Matt, you mentioned how the policy was formed. Does that suggest that the Macy's policy goes a lot further than most other organizations of its type?
I think it does. I think Macy's has just gone over the border here, and they are catering to just a radical fringe. Those that identify as transsexual or transgender, they're one sex and they want to identify as another. That's listed in the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual that's used by psychiatrists and psychologists as a mental disorder. It is a very, very, very small percentage population of the country. They're catering to that radical fringe, and they're alienating the rest of their customer base. So this is just a radical position and just a nonsensical position by Macy's. They need to change their policy.
The other side of this may say it may seem nonsensical, but it is the policy. You're representing Natalie Johnson in this case. What exactly is the claim you are making?
Well, first of all, this policy, the store needs to accommodate Natalie. She has an objection to being in this situation. She has religious objections to that as well. She has common sense, other kinds of objections. They should at least at a minimum move her to another part of the store. They didn't try to do that at all. They just said, in your face, and if you don't like it, get out of here, you're fired. And that's what they did on the eve of Thanksgiving and obviously on the eve of Christmas. So they need to do that. But beyond that, they could at least, if they wanted to go this radical route, they could have a third dressing room, men, women, and then other, if that's what they wanted to do. I mean, they could do that, as ridiculous as it would be, but they could do that. What they can't do, what they shouldn't do, is defy common sense and override people's sincerely held religious beliefs and other moral convictions and just common sense safety concerns and turn the women's fitting room into a free-for-all for men to be able to go in there and commit voyeuristic acts, possibly subject these women to sexual harassment, and also put them at risk for rape.
We're talking with Matthew Staver of Liberty Council. Matt, I know it's only been a short time since this episode took place, but have you gotten any sense of the impact that the attention of this has had on Macy's, the pressure perhaps to change the policy, the number of people who have decided not to shop there? Is it just too early to say?
Well, it's too early to say, but I can tell you what, Macy's is starting already to feel the heat, and I think that they ought to, every store around the country ought to get their customers to complain about what's going on. This just makes no sense, and in fact, the store here in San Antonio, for those that want to call it, is 210-554-6804. It's 210-554-6804. I would call and voice your opposition. This just makes no sense. It puts everyone at risk. It is a radical policy that just defies common safety concerns.
This happened to happen right at the holiday season. I don't know if it was holiday related at all, but I know you're working on other cases related to the expression of Christmas by professing Christians. Anything else on the radar screen that our listeners should be aware of right now?
Well, certainly we're working on Christmas-related issues, whether it's in the public sector or in the employment sector. And we also have our naughty and nice list on Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. And it lists retailers on the one hand that are naughty, those that want to profit off of Christmas while pretending it doesn't exist. And then on the other hand, those that want to recognize and honor Christmas. And the good news is that list is much longer, and it has been growing over the years. There's been major movement by retailers to acknowledge Christmas and to call Christmas trees, to have Christmas carols in or songs in the intercom system, and to actually have Christmas decorations. So that's the good news. CVS just recently moved from the naughty list to the nice list. Best Buy did that in 2010. Walmart did that in 2006. So there is a huge movement over to the nice list. And the reason why it's effective is because people, when they see which stores are which, they make that known. So don't just not shop or shop at someone's store because of their activity. Tell them why you're no longer going to shop there. Tell them why you are going to shop there. Tell them that you appreciate the Christmas decorations or the music. Tell them why you're not going to shop because they censor Christmas. That kind of response from consumers has made a difference, and it will continue to do so.
And those lists, I assume, are on your website, Matt?
Yes, lc.org. There is a button right there, I Love Christmas button. Click on that. It'll take you all to the resources that you would need regarding Christmas.
Fascinating stories all the way around. Matt, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.